this Sunday could very well be a Sunday on which we particularly preach about vocations. But that is not the main theme. The Christ called and they followed. And that's the thing. Christ is calling you. And are you following? Are you doing whatever you want? That's very important. Do you fall on your knees before Christ the Lord and say, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man"? Or do you just continue to sin and not pay attention to him in any way? These are things that must be considered by us. Either way, he called, first of all, Simon, for he had already met him. This is not the first time they had seen these future apostles and disciples. And of course, he was to change his name from Simon to Kephas, or rock. "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." And all this is encompassed in the one thing, but we cannot repeat everything every single week, obviously. And then, of course, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were also the cousins of Christ. And St. James was to be the first apostle to be martyred after he came back from Spain, where he had the first vision of the Blessed Mother in the history of the Church in the year 40 in the camp of Cesare Augusta, Zaragoza, Our Lady of the Pillar. Every day they embellish her beautiful statue which she left and the pillar which she left as a sign of her love. They were having no success, and after she came and went, the church continued to grow and grow and grow, as it still does, despite the heresies that today besiege the church in all directions, in all ranks and files. And then, of course, John, the beloved disciple, who was to be the last apostle to die, and not a martyr, though he suffered tremendously. So these were very special, and they always take precedence over the other apostles. So here we have this calling. And so we have the calling also today. And it is interesting, and I've always noted, and I just mentioned it today, though I'm sure somebody will have something to say about it. I always say saints make mistakes. In the epistle today, St. Paul says he appeared to Cephas and the 11. There weren't 11, there were 10. Judas Iscariot had hung himself, had been sent to eternal hell. There were only 10 other apostles other than Cephas, the rock. That's very interesting. It would be a subject study in itself. And someday I have time, I will. But even saints make mistakes. So many people say, "Well, this pope did this and that pope did that." Saints make mistakes. And so we see there one right in front of our eyes. Peter and the other 11. There were no longer 11. And they had not chosen yet St. Matthias. And so we have here a very beautiful example of the reality of life, that only God is perfect. Neither you nor I, nor any pope, nor bishop, or priest in the world. Only God is perfect. Even the saints make mistakes. And it's as is our tradition, which we have received from our friend and mentor, St. John Paul II, since it is the Sunday closest to the feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, who is very, very special in regards to the sick. Many thousands and thousands of people are healed there and have been healed there. And so on this day, we have, after Mass, the Holy Sacrament of the Sick, of sacred unction, not extreme unction. Extreme unction is that which you receive on your deathbed. But we hope you don't wait till your deathbed to be anointed, because there may not be a priest around. And then you will die in your sins, and we know what the future of that person is. So today we have the sacrament of unction. And of course, I remind you that one must be a Catholic to receive it, like any other sacrament. We must be in the state of grace to receive it, like any other sacrament. And that we need to follow the rules according to the teachings of the Church. And of course, there are some people in the Church today that think that you should just have the sacrament of unction at your deathbed. But that's not the way it was at first. And if you look at the Epistle of St. James, it says, let those who are sick call for the shepherds of the Church, and let them anoint them with the oil. It's not only for the dying, it's not only, obviously not for the dead. Now, it is, along with baptism, one of those sacraments that is called the sacraments of the dead. Not because it is for the dead, but because those who receive that sacrament are lifted up, raised from death to life. And so many, many people who receive the sacrament of anointing, of unction, are healed. There are many in this parish and shrine. And of course, I have told you this before, the very first person after I was ordained that I anointed was here in Pensacola at Naval Hospital, which basically doesn't exist anymore. And it was the husband of the secretary of the parish where I was assigned. I didn't know it at the time. And they called me because he was dying. Well, I anointed him and gave him all the different blessings that one gives, which not every priest gives, by the way. And the man, that was in 1981, and the man died just a few years ago. He lived, he survived. And we have many parishioners here who have been saved from the most horrible illnesses, from brain cancer and other cancers and many things. God's ways are not our own, and he is more powerful than either you nor I. So after Mass is over, then I will ask you, I will change my vestments, and I will ask you to come up to the communion rail, and then I will give you this most wonderful and most holy sacrament. We give thanks to God for all the blessings that he has given to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.